Well, recently you played at Woodfest. You played with the Funky JBs. Oh, you were playing guitar. He was up there playing guitar, and all of a sudden, it really caught me when you played the guitar solo from Purple Rain.
Oh, and
they play the Funky JBs play Purple Rain because, of course, you know, Prince helped Clyde Stubblefield out with his medical bills, and they pay a tribute to that. But that was just an amazing guitar solo. I wanted to tell you that it brought tears to my eyes, literally. But then you came backstage. And you were hanging in at our food tent at Mama Rocker's Band Bistro. You posted these photos on Madison Foodie, and it blew up. People were like, I got so many messages and people who saw that, and it really introduced me to Madison Foodie.
Can I interrupt you again?
Yes.
Because that's not the first time I've played Atwood Fest, and every single time I've played Atwood Fest, and I told you this, and I put this in the post, but I'll say it again on the air. Atwood Fest has the best hospitality for musicians wherever you go. I don't care who you are. And the great thing about Atwood Fest is everybody, from the opening band to the headliner to the people that are just volunteering, helping out, everybody gets great hospitality. They get great food. They get great snacks. They get great beverages. They get great swag. They get treated like, you know, like Atwood Fest is grateful to have them there.
Yes.
And I've toured all over the world, and I've done festival gigs in this country and others where I've been with the opening band, I've been with the headliner, I've been with a big name, I've been with nobody. And my biggest pet peeve is when musicians get treated like the help.
Mm, yes.
Because I can be there with a headliner and they'll just be like, here's your cheese sandwich, now get out. Yeah. You know, it's real. And Atwood Fest is, you know, I don't know if it's fair to call it a small neighborhood festival anymore. It's definitely substantial, but it's not Summerfest. For what it is, it has the best hospitality, and it has the best hospitality than festivals much, much larger. And I know that it's specifically because of you and your mother. So thank you on behalf of musicians everywhere, Rocker, for making sure that musicians are taken care of and musicians are appreciated.
And, you know, that's true. We try and set the bar. I think, you know, everybody should be like this, but that you're absolutely right. We started it out taking care of the musicians, and that's what was really near and dear to my mother's heart and still is. Well, hey, before we hear more about Madison Foodie, tell us a little bit of your backstory. We heard a little bit. Who is Dan Spiffy Newman?
I mean, I'm definitely a musician at heart. That comes first. I, you know, started with the tennis racket and the ukulele and then the guitar and then jumping on the piano, and then I discovered the organ. And I always wanted to do music for a living, and I've done it for a living now for, you know, my entire life and part of my childhood, and it hasn't always been easy. And I've been privileged to be in some big places and some small places, and it's not that different at the end of the day, you know, going and playing at Atwood Fest and playing at, you know, Cafe Coda or one of the other great local venues we have around here is not that different from, you know, going out to LA or playing around there or places in Europe. And it's just, you know, when this gig's done, you got to try to make money for the next gig. And that's the great lesson that I learned, is that it's all pretty much the same at the end of the day. So I'm just a musician that plays music wherever I can. I love gospel music, and I grew up in church, so a big part of what I do is music in church. But then I also, like you mentioned, Clyde Stubblefield was, you know, I'm honored to have considered him a friend because he's a true legend, a true Wisconsin legend, a true music legend. And so, you know, love funk music, and have had my hand in plenty of other genres. I'm also just kind of a bit of an eclectic nerd when it comes to other stuff. I've worked in the ceiling fan and lighting industry. You name it, I've probably done it, and it's all been chasing my passions and chasing my interests. But it's also been because sometimes you can't make a living from music alone. You always got to do other stuff. And so
I know it.
Everybody knows it. And so, like, it's always been, okay, I want to do music. What can I do while I'm doing music? And what can I do that I'm also passionate about? And I've tried to chase, you know, all of my passions into careers or at least part-time jobs.
Now, to switch gears a little bit, I remember back in the beginning of the pandemic, you were one of the first people that I saw that had got sick, that had got an illness, and it wasn't just, it got kind of bad.
Yeah, I was on life support for 2 weeks. Absolutely, yeah. I was one of the first people in Wisconsin who was considered young and healthy to get a severe case of COVID. I got turned away from the hospital 3 times because they said, well, you're under 40, you don't have any pre-existing conditions, you'll be fine. I ended up on life support for 2 weeks and ended up disabled, and hopefully not permanently disabled. I'm still actively working on my recovery and working on getting better, but there's still a lot people don't know about COVID, and that definitely shifted gears for me as a musician, because before then I was touring pretty regularly, and I was, you know, not doing as much around here, and it just was fortuitous that the year before the pandemic I'd taken this full-time job doing music at a church. And so that has kept me and sustained me. And I'm gradually getting back out there and doing some gigging. I did a lot of wedding bands last summer. This summer I'm doing stuff with, you know, the Funky JBs and a few other, you know, bands around here like we talked about. Actually, they want me to go back on the road this fall, go back out to Los Angeles and do some stuff. And I'm trying to work myself up into physically being ready for it. It'll be my first time doing that since getting sick, and I don't know if my body's up for it, but we'll find out.
Well, now tell us about Madison Foodie, the Facebook group. Why did you start this Facebook group, and what has it become?
So it's all kind of tied together, because when I used to tour, I was one of those guys who always wanted to try to eat what the locals ate. You know, I'd go down to New Orleans. Where's your favorite place? Jean's Po' Boy? Okay, we're going there. LA, where do you go for lunch? You go to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles? Okay, we're going. Yeah. Like, I hated being on tour and everybody wanted to eat McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted to eat Chick-fil-A or KFC or whatever. I remember being on tour in Europe and they were looking for McDonald's. And I'm like, we're in Italy. Can we please? And so,
get a McPita.
Yeah. So when I took the job in Milwaukee, you mentioned the church I work for in Milwaukee, which isn't that far. I don't know if I really, I guess technically it is a commute, but I was in Milwaukee and I was saying, well, I want to try some things I can't get in Madison. I want to see what there is out there. And there were some Milwaukee Facebook groups, Milwaukee Foodie and a few others that had some really great recommendations. And I started to use those every time I would go to Milwaukee for church. I'd say, where am I going to stop after church? Well, let me check on Facebook and see what people are talking about and see what people are recommending. And then I said, well, why doesn't Madison have something like this? And I looked, and we had several smaller ones, but none that were really successful. And I'm like, well, I've been doing social media for my music and everything else for as long as social media has existed. Like, I know how to make a successful Facebook group. That's, you know, I like, there's certain things, you know, because you're also a self-promoter with your magazine and your radio show and everything else. There's certain things that you have to do to be effective in terms of, you know, getting numbers and getting people, and you know, it's not just starting a page and then, oh, the people are going to come. And so, and since I had some experience in that area, I said, well, okay, let's do this for Madison. But even I am surprised at just how quickly, I'd say it'd been around for a few years and it wasn't doing much and I was just staying consistent with it. But then in the past year or so, it's just really grown exponentially.
Well, you know, and you're very active. I mean, how many times are you on it? You're like on all day?
Not all day, for sure. I try to, I mean, at the very least, I change the cover photo once a day. So there'll be at least that post from me once a day. And there was a while when the group was what needed my engagement where I was posting once a day easily. Because again, that's one of the things you got to do. Just like I do with my music, social media, you got to post once a day.
Yeah.
People got to get sick of you in order for it to grow. And
I love it.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so now I don't have to. I will try to post whenever I'm going to be out and about and going places. And I do make it a point to like stop at both like local restaurants that I support as well as like trying new ones and trying to do my part as an individual, in addition to as the group owner, in terms of like drawing attention to these great local businesses that we have, because Madison is pretty spoiled for so many of the local businesses we have. And it really can make or break a local business sometimes getting good social media engagement. So I definitely try to post as much as I can. But I don't have to post as much now because it's gotten to be the point where if I don't say anything, the group will still have, you know, 50 posts in a day.
That was like my next question was, what drives people to comment and interact so much with Madison Foodie?
Well, I mean, the first thing is food is the universal language, just like music.
Mm, yes.
You know, it's food is the only thing that we really have like strong preferences on that we also need to live, you know, because like everybody needs oxygen, but like we don't really discuss like what kind of oxygen we're going to breathe today, you know, and you know, anything else that we need to live, sleep, you know, we can talk about our pillows and our mattresses, but that the reality of it is the one thing that we need to live that's also like a recreational thing, it's also a thing that you can have really strong opinions about, it's also an art, is food. So everybody has a strong opinion about food. Mm-hmm. And so that's the number one reason why I think that there's always going to be an opinion, you know. Everybody has an opinion.
Yeah. And it's passion, right? It's personal.
Yeah.
You know, people always have an opinion, and it's not the same. Yeah, you know, you can have a dish, Rocker may love it, I might go, you know.
Well, you know, my favorite is Doughboy's Pizza, and they are big, they hit big on your page. They get a lot of publicity both ways on Madison Foodie. What's their secret?
So Doughboy's is a relatively new, small local pizzeria. It's a father and son operation, and they're very active on social media, which is good. And because they've been active on social media, we've gotten to see kind of the genesis of their business, and as they've grown and as they've kind of gotten over some hiccups and they've had some problems because of the fact that they're posting and people are posting about them, we get to see kind of what things are going for them publicly. So when something, you know, lots of things happen in the first couple years of a small business that can go right or go wrong, but they've been in the unique position where people have seen those things. And then they also are very active in responding to a lot of the posts and reviews online, which can be a double-edged sword as well. But for the most part, it's good because it keeps your name in front and it keeps the engagement. And then, you know, for the most part, their product has been consistently excellent. They have definitely, you know, any new business, any small business is going to struggle with consistency, but they've had enough solid landings that when people post pictures, 75% of those pictures look amazing.
That's true.
And I can't speak for anybody else. Me personally, I've met them, I've interacted with them. I like, you know, interacting with small business owners that we can just have a chat and like, you know, even if we don't agree about everything, that like we can BS back and forth and stuff like that. And they're definitely that those kind of people, you can engage with them. Actually, one thing I want to shout out about them since you brought them up. Out of any of the small businesses that I've seen posting in that group, they have been more generous in terms of like when I have been there, they're always giving away food to people that walk in and say, I don't have enough money. They've offered like anybody in the group that has a complaint, they're like, come by, we'll feed your whole family. Somebody who's an active member of the same group lost their child, and then Doughboys was like, hey, just tell them, anybody in the family, if they need food these next couple weeks, just place an order with us, it's on us, you know. And I don't know if people see that. I'd like to think that's one of the reasons they're getting so much engagement, but it might not be. But either way, that's good karma for them.
That is, and you're absolutely right. I've seen that multiple times that they've helped people out. Hey, what is the future of Madison Foodie?
That's a great question, and I don't really know, because I'm not sure how much it can grow. And like I said, this isn't my first rodeo at social media. You have stuff that keeps being more and more successful. You have stuff that kind of plateaus, and then you have stuff that kind of stops working out the blue. And I'm just kind of, it's one of the many things that I'm just excited to see what happens to it. And it could be great. It could be even greater going forward. I hope it'll be one of those things that kind of plateaus and becomes like a standard around Madison that just is a thing that people can reference, like Isthmus or like Maximum Ink or like, you know, anything else.
Iconic.
Yeah. But we'll see. You know, there's really no telling, especially because every time you have something that's successful on social media, then things change, like Twitter to X and all the things that's changed there. You know what I mean? Like, all it takes is Mark Zuckerberg to decide he's going to ruin it for everybody, you know? And it's so like I said, I don't want to make any predictions, but I hope that it will continue to be an asset and a resource both to small businesses in the area as well as people who are hungry.
That is awesome. I love the Facebook group. Go to Facebook, look up Madison Foodie. How do we keep up with Dan Spiffy Newman and Madison Foodie online?
Well, I mean, so for me personally, social media is also the easiest way. And depending on what you can see, I've got an Instagram, I've got a TikTok, I've got a Twitter, but I don't post much there. You can follow my personal Facebook, my music Facebook, or my ceiling fan Facebook. So you can get whatever you want to get. Although, honestly, I think the social media that I'm the most active on is YouTube. I post a lot of music on YouTube. I post a lot of other content on YouTube. So, but just Dan Spiffy Newman anywhere on social media. And then, yes, absolutely, if you want to join Madison Foodie, that's all you got to type into Facebook. I think it's like facebook.com/group/Madison Foodie and join. And everybody's welcome. You don't even have to be in Madison. As long as you're posting something that's relevant to the people of Madison, we'd love to have you.
Dan Spiffy Newman, Madison Foodie, thank you so much for coming into Max Inc. Radio tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rocker. It's good to see you as always.
And you know what? We have a song from you that you brought in, and we didn't even know the name, so we're calling it Go With Oregon.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this.
So I have a couple production teams that I work with. This is a production team out of LA, and we will just make music, and then we'll shop it around to different artists or different, you know, people that would be interested. Like I said, we've had some on some movie soundtracks. We've actually have a few songs that the Harris campaign is using and just a few other things. And so we just make music, me and the other people in this production team, and we shop it around. And so the songs that I sent you are not like finished songs. They're just music that we would shop around to different artists or different, you know, other people that would need music. Like I said, talked about the movie, you know, directors and things like that. And then once somebody buys it, then we would finish it with them in mind. So this is kind of a rough track, instrumental track that actually was intended for an artist that went a different way. And I really liked it. So I just wanted to share it with you.
Oh, that's fun. Well, we're going to call it Go With Oregon. This is Dan Spiffy Newman, Madison Foodie. You're listening to Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.